And here he is, the man who, when he heard that good King Wenceslas hadn't looked out since the Feast of Stephen, offered to clean his windows. Celebrating Christmas, it's Ken Dodd!
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Doddy's Christmas Cracker. This year, I had a typical comedian's Christmas dinner. I drank a bottle of pale ale, told a few jokes, and the turkey got up and walked out. Yesterday, I was in a wine shop. I said to the man behind the counter, I said, have you got something full-bodied, an interesting bouquet, a mature age, and well-settled? He shouted through the back door, Doris, here's another one of them. And if you want a tip for Christmas shopping, folks, never bend down and tie your shoelace in a department store. There are far too many women walking around with long rolls of wrapping paper sticking out of their shopping bags. And this Christmas, spare a thought for those people who are forced to tramp the streets, hanging around houses for a kind word of encouragement. Any tiny glimmer of human compassion that may chance to come their way, they're called double glazing seldom. I've had my usual after-dinner punch. Serves me right for complaining about the gravy. I spent most of Christmas morning giving my little niece's Cindy doll a blowwave. Have you noticed? Our television set is so full of Australians, I'm thinking of hanging corks around the screen. The Australians are taking over the pop charts and the telly. I'm sure that Jason Donovan's a nice lad, but isn't it time he visited his parents? I mean, how is it at Christmas? How is it when they're passing the cakes round at a party and when the cake dish finally reaches you, only the lemon curds are left? How is it when you've just finished the washing up, some idiot always comes in with another six glasses? And how is it when you chuck away the washing up water into next girl's garden, there's always one spoon left in it? Why is it that the last Christmas card you receive is always the one for someone you haven't sent one to? Went to this terrible party the other night. There's so many gate crashers coming in the back door, all the invited guests ended up in the front garden. I felt sorry for the host. He was the only person there who didn't know anybody. What a party. It was so crowded, he was flinging Black Forest Gatto into the expeller fan to make sure everybody got of it. I know. I'll have a quick look through the Christmas edition of that wonderful newspaper, the Tiddlesley Bugle. Ah, here we are. This is the bit I like, the personal column. Man with two tickets for the Sydney Opera House wants to meet lady with rowing boat. Oh, here's a good one. For sale, invisible man's costume. Must be seen. Man with parrot on shoulder would like introduction to lady with wooden leg. Love of amateur theatre an advantage. Electronic flash for sale. Will fit under most raincoats. Anyway, I must pop into the office to see how Miss Golightly and Willie Eckerslake are doing. There you are, Miss Golightly. And a very Merry Christmas. Good gracious me. What are you doing there? Covered in sequins and your legs in a couple of sprout bags?
Oh, I'm sorry about this, boss. It's Willie and me. We're rehearsing. I'm his new assistant.
I'm not with you, Miss Golightly.
The great Eckerslake and the ravishing Jasmine.
Great Eckerslake and ravishing Jasmine?
Yes. He's bought a conjuring set and he's got some bookings for kiddies' Christmas parties.
And you're not the
ravishing Jasmine, yes. He said the act needed a bit of glamour, so I've stuck some sequins on one of me granny's vests and cut down a pair of me dad's long johns. And voila.
The ravishing Jasmine. Where's the great Eckerslake?
Oh, he's in the back room putting on his new evening suit.
I don't believe it.
The great Eckerslake at your service. Well, Kenny, what do you think?
Well, you look a bit uncomfortable in that dinner suit, Willie. It seems to be in funny shape.
There's a very good reason for that, Kenny, lad. You see, I've got 3 dozen budgies stuffed up me jacket.
No idea you were interested in magicking, Willie.
Oh, hi, Kenny lad. I'm a member of the Accrington Magic 7.
Really?
There's 4 of us. Sim Salabim Piff Paff Pow Fagged.
Good gracious. He's just produced a 20p piece from his nose. Is it sleight of hand, Willie?
Is it, Eckerslake? Spent half an hour bunging him up. I must have about 4 quid with up here.
Good. Where did that bunch of flowers come from?
It were down me trousers, Kenny.
Why is it all chewed up at the end?
That'll be me ferrets.
Ferrets?
He has 2 ferrets down the left leg of his trousers.
Aye, and 3 rabbits down the right.
Well, whatever you do, Willie, Don't cross your legs. Anyway, I want to see him do something really magic, something impressive.
Right. The ravishing Jasmine will now get into this ordinary wooden cabinet.
It's a bit on the small side, isn't it, Willie?
Yeah. Well, it used to be our old dog kennel.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Hey, are you inside, Jasmine?
Yes?
I have here 16 genuine razor-sharp, solid-steel Arabian swords.
Gosh, truth. She'll end up like chips.
I will now plunge them one at a time into the magic cabinet.
She'd hang on a minute if I were you, Willie.
What'd she say, Kenny?
She said something about hanging on a minute.
Whatever you do, don't shove any swords in.
She sounds a bit frightened. Are you sure this trick'll work?
Yeah, of course it'll work. Here we go. The flipping dog's still in there. What are we going to do?
There's only one thing you can do, Willie. Open the box and do a disappearing act. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go out into the streets of Tilsley and I'll find out how everybody's celebrating this festive season. By Jove! By Jove! What a beautiful day! What a beautiful day for taking all your clothes off, strapping your legs around the back of your neck and shouting, how's this for an oven-ready turkey? I'll ask the folk of Tilsley what they think about Christmas, but before I do anything, I simply must have a quick burst on my banjo. By Jove, I needed that. Oh, it's a dear little old lady. Excuse me, darling. What will you be watching over Christmas?
The Maltese Falcon.
Ah, with Humphrey Bogart.
No, with sage and onion stuffing. Me old man forgot to get a turkey.
Ooh, look out. Here's a man who looks a bit worried. Excuse me, sir. What will you be watching this Christmas?
Jaws 1, Jaws 2 and Jaws 3.
Oh, I say. The video films?
No, the wife, her mother and her sister.
Oh, here's a harassed-looking housewife. Excuse me, love, what does Christmas mean to you?
Don't talk to me about Christmas. My husband still isn't talking to me from last Christmas.
Why, what did you do?
Well, I asked him what he wanted for Christmas, and he said, surprise me.
And?
So I didn't come home till Boxing Day.
Look at this grumpy old codger here. excuse me, Pop, are you enjoying the festivities?
I aren't. I can't stand all these young housewives who insist on covering their windows with snow spray, tinsel, cotton wool, and big Merry Christmas banners. It interferes with me hobby.
What is your hobby?
I'm a peeping Tom.
Here's a boxer on a training session coming towards me. Excuse me, young man, how do you usually spend Christmas Day?
Well, Harry, I get up early, I jog about 4 miles, work out in the gym, know what I mean, Harry? Then every Christmas Day at 1 o'clock prompt, I put my gum shield in.
To get stuck into the sparring partner, I suppose.
No, Harry, to tackle the wife's cooking, know what I mean?
Here's a disgruntled-looking man heading this way.
Ooh. Look, you! I've just come to tell you that I hate you, see? I hate you! I hate your house! I hate your garden, I hate your back door, I even hate your curtains. You've ruined my Christmas, you have. I won't forget this, you know.
Oh, dear. It's my own fault. I meant to tip the bin man 2 days ago.
At this very moment, two very dear, close, lifelong friends are enjoying a concert of Christmas music in the famous Royal Albert Hall. We join them as they sit side by side in their own private box.
He is without doubt one of the finest conductors of choral music in the world today.
Few would argue with that statement.
Such a unique talent.
Quite brilliant.
And he's slightly handicapped this evening.
Handicapped?
Yes. He's lost one of his altos.
You know, I thought I detected a slight limp as he walked onto the platform.
Of course, he's been surrounded by music all his life. His mother wanted him to become a bassoonist.
You'll never get me up in one of those things.
His youngest wants to be a nun.
Oh, it's a hard life.
He's told him. His LP came out last week.
How terribly embarrassing.
You know he's got a compact disc.
Poor chap must be in agony.
He might be going down under after Christmas.
What pleasure do they get out of it?
He has such an extensive repertoire. Have you heard his chestnuts roasting on an open fire?
To be perfectly honest, I'm not at all sure that I want to.
His youngest son is on the euphonium.
I thought they had clinics for that sort of thing.
Of course, his wife has been entertaining the troops for the past 3 weeks. They can't get enough of her variations.
I can't sit here and watch him conducting after what you've just told me. I must leave. We don't know how lucky we are.
How very true. We both have wonderful husbands. Merry Christmas, Sylvia.
And you, Phoebe.
Christmas is a time for fairy tales.
Once upon a time, in a huge castle in a distant land, lived Giant Blunderbore. Giant Blunderbore was the most terrifying sight in the land. When he walked through the streets, the houses trembled, and the villagers hid under the stairs in fear of their lives. For breakfast, Giant Blunderbore would eat 5 buckets full of porridge, 25 fried eggs, and 100 rashers of bacon, all washed down with a barrel of foaming beer. One day, Giant Blunderbore's breakfast wasn't on the table. Giant Blunderbore became angry. He banged on the table. He set off through the castle in search of his poor wife. The walls of the castle shook with his anger. At last, he reached the door of the kitchen. He walked through it as if it were matchwood. He stood there, glaring at his terrified, defenseless wife, and with a voice like thunder said,
"Where's me shirt? Where's me shirt? And where's me breakfast? Where's me porridge? Where's me breakfast?"
Please to come in and join us. It is right that next door neighbors celebrate Christmas together.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I'd like to come in, but I've just gone round to try and borrow a couple of...
Nonsense! You must come in and join us in a traditional Slavovnian Christmas drink. Come, drink.
Good grief. What's this?
Yak's milk marinated in a pig's bladder and curdled with the blood of the mountain goat.
Oh.
Drink it! It is a traditional Slavovnian pastime at Christmas.
Is it? Oh.
Good! Now you must have another drink.
No, please. Just a...
You are wishing for something a little more stronger? Well, try this.
Oh, what is it?
Sheep's giblets boiled in seaweed for 5 hours. Strained through the socks of a Baltic peasant. Drink it down. It is a traditional Slavovnian pastime at Christmas.
Oh.
Another.
No more, please. No.
Oh, you wish for our special drink. Black olives crushed by the feet of 100 sacred donkeys and curdled with just a squeeze of bat's bones. Please, drink it down. It's a traditional Slavovnian pastime at Christmas. Oh, no! Look what you have done! You have been ill all over my brand new carpet and all over my brand new settee!
Hello! It's the traditional English pastime of Christmas!
Oh,
You know, Mother, he couldn't get into bed quick enough tonight.
That's because it's Christmas Eve. Poor little mite. I hope he goes off to sleep.
He will. You know that hot milk you made us at supper time?
What about it, Dad?
I put 2 sleeping pills in his cup when he wasn't looking.
Oh, that was a terrible thing to do, Dad.
I send him to sleep quicker than a Roger Whittaker record, that will. Hear that?
I can't hear anything.
Out like a light.
Good.
Mom! I don't believe it.
What is it, son?
Good night, Mom!
Good night, son.
Good night,
Dad. Good night. I thought you said he'd...
He'll be asleep in no time.
I'm not half tired, Mum.
Just you go off to sleep now.
I can hardly keep my eyes open, Mum.
I told you.
Are you tired as well, Dad?
I'm worn out.
Oh, good night, Dad.
Good night.
Good night, Mum.
Good night, son.
I've never been this tired, Mum.
Then go to sleep. Good night.
I won't be able to get to sleep if you keep shouting good night, Mum.
Well, I won't shout good night again.
Will you be shouting good night, Dad?
I won't say another word. Good night.
You've done it again, Dad.
Good night. Whatever you do, don't say good night.
Why don't you want my mum to say goodnight, Dad?
Will you go to sleep?
Now, don't you say one word to
me. I'm not going to say anything to you.
Mum!
What?
Aren't you and Dad speaking to each other, Mum?
Of course we are.
I'm going to sleep now, Mum. Can I just ask you something before I do? Because I'm very tired and I might forget.
Well, what do you want to know?
Where will Father Christmas be now, Mum?
He'll be about 200 yards away.
He can't stay awake much longer. I gave him enough of that stuff to knock out an elephant.
Mum!
What?
Did you say Father Christmas is 200 yards away?
Yes, yes.
I won't get any presents then.
Why won't you get any presents?
If he's 200 yards away, he'll be in the canal.
Ooh, I'll scream in a minute. Go to sleep.
Good night, Mum.
Good night.
Good night, Dad.
Your dad's asleep.
I thought he would be, Mum.
What do you mean?
When we had our hot milk at supper time, I switched the cups round.
It's no good, darling. I just can't do it.
But you can, Nigel. You know you can. Please, please. For the children. For me.
All right. All right, darling, I will. For you. For Tristan and Natasha. I'll give it another go, darling.
That's my Nigel.
No. No, it's no use. It's not working. It's not working.
Oh, Nigel, what about the children?
You'll just have to tell them what you told them last year and the year before that. Tell them that Daddy still can't get the fairy lights working on the blasted tree.
Now, before I go any further, I must visit the old folks' home. Ah, the annual visit to the Sunset Haven for retired gentlefolk. Here. Ah, look, there they are, sitting round the fire, talking about the bad old days.
Ah, we had to make do in them days, you know. My mum, she was a wonderful cook. Every Christmas, she used to bake a big crust over the dustbin. But we were happy. Oh, we were happy.
Kids today don't know they're born.
No.
Well, I was a lad. On Christmas Eve, my dad would go out into the park with a handful of corn in his pocket. And when he came home, you know, we had a turkey each. Some of them had messages strapped to their legs. But we were happy.
Oh, we were happy.
I don't know what we had to eat one Christmas, but there were 6 of us and we all had a leg each. Oh. But we were happy.
Oh, we were happy. We didn't have none of them
plastic footballs in my day. We used to kick about a block of granite rounded at corners. We were happy.
You know, I wore trousers made from old sacks.
Really?
People used to think my name was Tate and Lyle.
But you were happy.
Oh, we were happy.
I tell you, you were damn lucky. We only had one cap between five of us.
Aye, but happen your dad were rich.
Oh, he was. He used to raffle his dole money.
Our workhouse master was a real swell, you know. Yes, every Christmas Day, he faced us the other way on the treadmill to give us a change of scenery. Yes, but we were happy, you
know. I used to pray for solitary confinement so I could have some fleas to myself.
And boots, we never had boots. We had to grow hard skin on the soles of our feet. If you stood on a nail, your feet would let the water in.
But were you happy?
Oh, we were all happy.
We were fumigated so often, now we're born wearing a gas mask.
You know, they don't know what work is today either. Child labour they had when I were a lad. My gaffer used to make me grow me hair right long and straggly, shove a brush handle up me trouser leg and clean the chimney with me.
No Yuletide entertainment is complete, folks, without the good old-fashioned Christmas murder mystery, the Who Done It. So now the naughty-ass players proudly present Agatha Christie's classic mystery, Murder at the Pantomime. Or as the villain said when he fell into the metallic kitchen paper, foiled again. Oh, yes, he did. He did if I say he did. Ladies and gentlemen, brace yourselves to meet naughty-ass's answer to the Bill, the Willie. Oh, you know, my corns are killing me. Oh. How's your feet, Frida?
Oh, these bunions are my Achilles heel, love. They're killing me.
Oh, let's get back to the station.
I feel like fitting someone up tonight, Constable.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. I'm not in the mood to wear the black basque, the bra and the matching suspenders. Have you tried WPC Flutter?
Yeah, unfortunately, she's attending to an RTA in the High Street.
A road traffic accident?
No, a revolting tramp's acne. Is that the phone, Constable?
No, sir, it's a piece of black pudding. It was hanging by that cord in the shop.
Well, answer it, then.
Hello? Bunhill Nick?
999.
There are no Germans here, madam. This is the Willie.
Right, Willie, I want to report a murder. In fact, several murders. Oh, a man has just prostrated himself at my feet.
Perhaps he couldn't wait any longer for an NHS bed.
It's Jack. Somebody's sawn right through his beanstalk.
Ooh, nasty.
Get a squad over to our pantomime rehearsals, double quick, and stop all these murders. Somebody's acting very strange.
Well, it's your own fault for booking Frank Bruno.
Here we are, lads. Collect others' facts, Billy Joel. Me and a sergeant will question the cast, while you, Constable, examine the bodies, all right?
He didn't mean those bodies, Constable. They're the village maidens.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sarge. I was just dusting them for fingerprints.
Did you find any?
Yes, mine. There appear to be four bodies so far, Inspector. Two ugly sisters, Idle Jack, and the back end of the pantomime horse.
Yes, so I see. Right, line up the cast for questioning.
Right. I'll just move this big fat pumpkin so we can have a bit of room.
Here, who you calling a big fat pumpkin? I'm the good fairy.
Good fairy?
My name is Fairy Tinkle, as you can plainly see. In purest white, I strut the stage in perfect purity. Oh. If any suitor fancies me and is feeling rather flirty, it's number 7 Slaggy Drive. Knock twice and ask for Gertie, I ask.
Incredible. And they say satire's dead.
Bless him,
blazy, blazy places, everybody. Do as the man from the Willie says. Ready when you are, Willie.
Right. Who are you, then, young man?
Hugh Warrington Fawcett. I'm the producer. Oh, thank goodness you've arrived.
Right, now, who are you?
I'm Dame Trot.
Yes, well, I must say, you're wonderfully turned out. The outrageous dress, the pigtails, the frilly petticoat, the heavy makeup, and the butterfly lips.
Oh, thank you, Sarge. I thought you hadn't noticed. If I don't pass the audition with this lot on, my name's not PC Elvin.
Hey, are you trying to take over my falsies?
Are you kidding? I've got my own set of choppers.
Well, Constable, what's the motive? Is it lust, desire, infidelity, jealousy, hate?
I don't know, Sarge. I missed Neighbours last night.
Yeah, well, the list of suspects is endless. Two Chinese policemen, a demon king, that fellow who spends all his time rubbing a lamp, broker's man, and that great fat egg-shaped thing sitting on the wall.
I've warned you once, you cheeky copper. If I wave my wand, you'll come a cropper. If the wand, it fails to do the trick, I'll belt your ear with half a brick.
I think the culprit could be Daisy the cow, sir. I mean, she's the only one that might have a good reason for getting rid of all the udders. All the udders! It's a joke! Start the car!
Why don't you appeal for somebody to confess?
Good idea, Dame Trot. Right, now come on, now come on, own up, come on. Come on, you bunch of barmy thespians. Who done it?
All right, I confess.
Not Snow White! Oh, this is terrible. It can't be. I mean, Snow White, think of the children.
I'm sorry, but my honour was at stake. They all tried it on with me. And so I arranged their demise at the hands of my trusty companions.
It's them, Sarge. It's them. The Magnificent Seven. Dwarfs. Come on, all you little diddy dwarfs. You're all under arrest. Come on, come on. Come on, lads. Come on, lads. Into the back of this black Mariah. I've just made it out of a pumpkin. Come on. It's off to the lockup for you.
Good work, Constable. Good work. That wraps it up. There's just one thing. We can't end a pantomime sketch without the wedding scene. So, in the spirit of the season, how about you volunteering to marry the beautiful princess,
eh? Oh, well, certainly, Sarge. I may as well have a little bit of comfort and joy myself over the festive season.
The bells across the meadow ring, this wedding day, great joy they bring. I'll make the cake and book the luncheon. Ooh, watch what you're doing with that truncheon.
Cheers for the happy couple. Hip, hip,
hooray!
Hip, hip,
hooray!
Hip, hip,
hooray!
You may now lift the bride's veil and give her a kiss.
By Jove, I'm looking forward to this. Oh, no, it's you, the fat old pumpkin. I mean, the good old fairy.
Call me a dox and give us a kiss.
Oh, no, I've been conned. I demand a recount. Help! Tatty-bye, everybody! Cinderella, help the BBC. I've been painting buttons. Tatty-bye, everybody! Tatty-bye!
You have been listening to Ken Dodd's Christmas Cracker, starring the man himself, Ken Dodd, with Colin Edwin, David Ross, Michael McLean, Sibby Jones, and Paula Tilbrook. The music was in the capable hands of Brian Fitzgerald, and the people responsible for the script were Eddie Braben, John Pye, Richard Jones, John Brown, Frank Hughes, Jeffrey Atkinson, Norman Beadle, Barry Reeves, and the producer, Mike Craig.